Hello and welcome to another episode of the Gaze into the Blue Light podcast. I'm your host, Steve. It's just me today. Nikki is at work, my usual co-host. So you're just gonna get me today. Boo-hoo. Too bad. But I'm just checking in with a summer vacation podcast update. I hope you've all been doing well. I have been doing well. Better than well. Great. It's my summer vacation. I'm excited. And I've got some good stuff to talk about. I have a video game to talk about that I've been playing on my PlayStation 4. I have a book that I just read that I think you'll find very curious indeed. And I also just watched a couple movies that I can't wait to talk about. I hope you've been doing well. And it's fun to be checking in again. It's been since May. Can you believe it? Since our last episode. In the meantime, we've been relaxing, enjoying the summer. I hope you have been too. I can't wait to get chatty, chatty Cathy about a book, movie, and video game. Let's start the show. Well, we are back and ready to get cranking with the first episode in a while since May. Due to summer vacation, plans, people visiting, things going on, summer, whatnot, summer, so forth, doodads, visitings, conversations, trips, etc. I think that about sums are all up for summer so far. I have a few weeks until school starts, so I'm trying to make the most of my time, of course, by avoiding home projects I need to do and watching movies instead. I trust that you are up to something similar. What are you up to? Doing the laundry? Yeah, I like doing the laundry. You know, if I could choose one household task, it would be doing the laundry. I like it. It's like set it and forget it, you know? You sit back, you put it in, then you got a little break. And then in the end, you get nice clean clothes. I mean, what could be better? Let's get back on track here. I am getting distracted. I'm going to start off with the movies I watched. And then maybe I'll take a break and then we'll talk about the book and the video game real quick. Take it easy on me. I'm just wading back into this whole podcast thing. I have not had a conversation with no one in a while, so it might take me a few tries to get back on the tricycle. So the movie, well, movies, plural, that I watched, the first one that I watched was a samurai movie, Yojimbo. Very well known Japanese samurai film directed by a very famous director, Akira Kurosawa. Well known for many movies, but Yojimbo is one of the most famous, and you know, it shows up on those lists of like greatest films ever made, a very highly regarded work from Kurosawa, who's got a long list of amazing movies. So I'm trying to spend some of my summertime watching some of the greatest greatest movies. You know, I mean, maybe not some of the greatest, but you know, movies I've heard about and have been wanting to get into. So I watched Yojimbo, and I'll talk about that, of course. But in my watching of Yojimbo and just looking up a little bit about it online, I saw that it was also remade. Not officially, according to Wikipedia, it was not a f official remake. But I was looking at different Western movies that were inspired by samurai movies, because I know that there was a lot of inspiration there. And I saw that Yojimbo has an almost like for like remake Western movie called A Fistful of Dollars, which is one of the more famous movies made by Clint Eastwood. You may have heard of a little actor goes by the name of Clint Eastwood. Nothing to shake a stick at, as my mom's known for saying. So I watched the original, the movie. It is 19 from 1961. So I watched it, and then of course watched Fistful of Dollars afterward to compare the two. And I highly recommend that you do the same. What a fun summertime adventure for you. Yeah, I would highly recommend watching both of them. Now, it is true that A Fistful of Dollars is almost uncannily exactly the same as Yojimbo, which is why I am not surprised it led to some kind of lawsuit, I'm sure. Just real quickly, Yojimbo is very well known in the top. What does Wikipedia say here? Something about it's been Yojimbo ranked at number 95 in Empire Magazine's list of the 500 greatest films of all time. Yeah, a great movie. An interesting fact, a 1968 screening in Columbia, Maryland, was considered too violent for viewers, causing the hosts to hide in the bathroom to avoid the audience. I read that as the audience was hiding in the bathroom because the movie was too violent, but that's not what happened. Interesting. All right, well, anyway, let's move on. What I was basically trying to say is this is not some chintzy, goofy samurai movie. It was well done, very well directed, really good black and white, and yeah, it's no joke. So the movie basically follows a sort of unknown samurai, Ronin, wandering through the countryside, and he finds himself in a small city where there is currently a I don't want to say gang war, but kind of like two major people in the little town have formed their own little gangs, and they are battling each other. And so the Ronin who wanders into town kind of like sees an opportunity to make some money and also maybe deal with some bad people, And so he hires himself out as a bodyguard to one of the sides. It's a very kind of simple story, easy to follow, but the action is really great. And it's not like a, I mean, we're talking about 1961. It was not violent by any standards, really, that we have today. You know, there's some blood, but and swords, but it's really fairly tame, I would say. But I don't know. It was good. Good samurai scenes. The directing was really good. The shadow, the camera angles. I thought the and there are times, I mean, it's dubbed over, well, not this one, but the wait, was it dubbed over? Yojimbo? No, I can't remember. I don't think so. I think it had subtitles, now that I'm remembering. That can end up being kind of a little bit difficult to get through sometimes, but in this case, I think it was really worth it. Everything flowed along pretty well, and I enjoyed the story a lot. I really liked the music. The sound effects were really cool. It was just a fun movie to watch, just kind of like on a day when you don't have much going on and you've got some time to just settle into the couch and watch a movie that's not going to require a whole lot of effort or thinking on your part. Just an enjoyable samurai movie experience. And I think the whole samurai movie genre is pretty deep, and there's a lot to explore there. And I would be into it. I'd like to start checking out more. I'll probably, start checking out some of the more famous ones that were made, and I think this one is a great kind of entry into the genre. So if it's something that you might be interested in learning more about, I would check it out. I believe I watched it on HBO Max. But if you don't have that, I'm sure you could probably rent it somewhere. So, as I said, after I watched that, I watched A Fistful of Dollars. This was an almost like-for-like remake, only a few years later, 1964, spaghetti western, directed by Sergio Leone, starring Clint Eastwood in his first leading role. Which I did not know. I did not know that was his first, maybe his first big entry into the spaghetti western genre. But this is 1964, and probably just like the samurai genre, I think the spaghetti western kind of genre has a lot to explore. There are a lot of actors that got their start there, a lot of big directors in spaghetti westerns that kind of came along, I think. I think A Fistful of Dollars is an amazing way to maybe get introduced into that genre as well. It follows basically the exact same plot, but all in set in a Western town. There are some differences. There are, the obvious differences is that there are pistols and not swords and, rifles, that kind of stuff, and horses and some soldiers, cavalry, things like that. And of course, the scenery is and everything is Western. So it's kind of cool to watch them. You certainly could watch them back to back, but very closely to each other to just kind of see the similarities and differences. In this one, there are two groups. I think it's families, actually. There's the Baxters, who is the sheriff, I think, and then the Rojos, they're the other kind of family faction in the town, and they are battling each other. An unnamed stranger, he's, rides his horse into town and does a similar thing. He's great with guns, and he's a smart guy, and he figures out a way to play each side against themselves while he makes some money in the meantime. It's got all that delicious, wonderful spaghetti western kind of cheesiness to it, but it's good. And you can see that there are some differences in the way that it was made. Like the all the actors, I think, were all of various countries and ethnicities. There's the Spanish speakers, there's Clint Eastwood speaking English. And there's Italian, spaghetti western, so there's Italian folks in there. And so there are it's obvious that that some of the talking is dubbed over. The some of that falls away, but it or distracts, but otherwise, it's good. It makes it, a fun movie to watch, just like Yojimbo. They nailed the, and whether they should have been nailing it or not, probably copyright infringement. But the main role there in Yojimbo, the guy is kind of like real sort of like relaxed, and just he kind of cracks jokes along the way a little bit. And Clint Eastwood's character does that too. He's a bit of a smart ass a little bit. And I think he kind of Clint Eastwood like just nailed it, and then did a great job of playing similar characters all the way through. According to Wikipedia, which is my main source of research, the box office reception of A Fistful of Dollars was a little shaky. And got initial negative reviews, but it did get pretty popular, and got popular in Italy and also in the United States. There was that lawsuit, those pesky lawsuits came up, and it kind of hurt some of the release numbers in America, but overall, I think it has grown to be a pretty respected film and a well-known piece of the Western genre. And I thought it was cool. Yeah, it's fun to watch one movie knowing exactly where they took the stories and the characters, and then kind of watching both of them play out. It's sort of like watching a play in a with a different director and a different cast who has kind of a different view on how things work, and how the story goes. So, I would recommend watching Yojimbo and A Fistful of Dollars just to compare the different stories and see how Clint Eastwood interprets the character and see it played out in the spaghetti western sets and setting and things like that, with guns and rifles and whatnot. Highly recommend. A good way to spend a weekend, if you find some time for watching movies on your hands. Okay, I'm gonna take a break, and then get to the book and the video game that I've been playing. Back from the break. Let's knock out a book and a video game. So, as is tradition, Gaze into the Blue Light podcast is, as you know or don't know, we kind of focus on anything that comes off of a screen. Blue light, get it? That could be video games, books, movies, etc. And this next one is a book. And I did stay true to the Gaze into the Blue Light, where I read it on my Kindle, my tablet. I don't always. Sometimes I read the bookie book with the pages and the paper. But this time I did not. And I checked this book out from my local library, the Philadelphia Local Library, using the Libby app. Do you use the Libby app? If not, you should. It's a really great way to find books that you might be interested in and not pay for them, which is always a bonus. The downside is that they usually expire after 2 weeks. But as in my case, I wasn't quite done with this book until my loan ran out, and I still had some more to read, and I just checked it out again, which was surprising because this book, Mexican Gothic, got pretty good reviews and just came out in 2020 and was on a couple of bestseller lists. So I was actually pretty surprised that I got a copy of it. It was on the hardback bestseller list for the Washington Post and the New York Times. It is about to be produced into a limited series adaptation on Hulu. And so, I thought this book would be impossible to check out on the online library, but it was in fact easy. So I read this book, Mexican Gothic. It is a 2020 Gothic horror novel by Mexican Canadian author Sylvia Moreno Garcia. 2020, so it is hot off the presses. Gothic horror, which is not my usual preferred genre, gotta say, but I really enjoyed the gothicness of it, if that's a word, gothicness. Horror, I feel, is a stretch, or maybe my idea of what constitutes horror is a little different from other people's. Let me quantify a bit. While I was reading this book, I did not feel scared. But there were definitely some, many scenes in the book, in which, there was some crazy stuff going on. Some violent stuff. Some scary things. But some mystical, magical, gothic-y, very dark things happen in the book. And there were definitely times when I was like, oh, that's creepy. But, I wasn't like, it was enjoyable. It was fun to read. So take that for what it's worth. The main kind of plot line is this young woman. I don't know how to pronounce it. Nemi or Nomi? Nomi, I think, is what I said in my brain when I was reading Nomi. She receives a, she's in her early 20s or something, kind of a party girl, living a this kind of like rich girl lifestyle. And she receives a letter from her cousin that like is claiming that she's not doing well. She is living with her husband and she feels like she's captive and that she is and that her husband is trying to kill her. And so obviously Nomi receives this letter and is distraught and well actually her father received the letter. My memory is a little shaky on who received the letter. At any rate, the letter arrives and she heads to visit her cousin to see what's going on because her cousin has been known to maybe say things that are less than the truth, and there have been conflicting reports about what's been going on out there. So the young lady travels to this very creepy old house above an abandoned silver mine where her cousin is could be being held captive by a creepy family. There's your very high general plot line. Without getting too specific, because the book had really cool details, I thought it was really interestingly described. The illustration that the author uses really paint some really cool pictures of this crazy house that's been in this very, very long line of family that has a silver mine in the area. I cannot wait to see it come out on Hulu. I am nervous and excited because I had such a weird, quirky mansion house built in my brain where they lived. With this crazy wallpaper with weird designs that may or may not be alive and listening to you and can come out and find you. I just had a crazy, you know, it was all very cool in my brain, in my imagination. So I'm excited to see what Hulu comes out with. I hope it doesn't disappoint. I don't know that it's going to disappoint, but this book has it all. I was really reminded a lot by a short story by Edgar Allan Poe called The Fall of the House of Usher. And if you haven't read that, highly recommend that. It's got this really a very similar gothic horror vibe to it that I enjoyed. It made for good reading. Like I said, I wasn't like super scared or anything, but if we want to get into a little bit more details to see if it might be something that you want to check out, this young woman, Nomi, comes to this house. There are these strange family members there. They are each very odd and creepy in their own way. And Nomi kind of forges the semi-relationship slash friendship with one of the younger members of the family. And she slowly begins to realize that there is something going on in this house that is kind of possessing this family and controlling them. And she is introduced to one of the older members of the family who has had a very long hold on power and has some very strange rules and lays in his bed and does some creepy, creepy stuff. I don't know if that enticed you anymore or not, but it's a great book if you're looking for something a little different. If maybe the gothic and the horror is not a path that you would traditionally explore. I'd recommend Mexican Gothic to check it out. It's a good story, and I love it's, centered on a I was gonna say a strong female character, but she definitely has her strength tested, and she's kind of unconventionally wise. You don't expect her, based on how she's described, to be able to kind of fight her way out of this scenario that she finds herself in, but Nomi, the character, surprises you. Surprised me. And I thought that that was cool. It was fun to see her battle against these longtime forces. So, highly recommend it if you like things that let you build a crazy, horror-y mansion in your mind. This was a great book for that. And if you're excited about, seeing books and stories remade for the television screen, then this might be your option. And it's coming to Hulu. We kind of rarely, well, at least I do, I don't ever really get the chance to read something before it comes out. More often than not, I see it come out, it gets a big critical reception, and then I want to go back and read the book first. And by the time I read the book, then the show's already been out and I'm late. So this was a cool chance to get in and read the book and then be excited when the show comes out and not be a little bit behind. So that may be something that's only important to me. But who knows? Maybe other people would enjoy that too. So that's Mexican Gothic. It was excellent. Hopefully you can still get it in your summer reading list. Last but certainly not least is the video game that I've been playing, Stranded Deep. Stranded Deep came out, well, it's been around for a while as a PC game, but then, as far as I know, was released in 2020 for PlayStation and Xbox. As far as I know, I am not a console. I mean, I'm not a PC gamer, so I don't know a whole lot about what happens on PC. I only really know about my tiny little old antique PlayStation 4. Stranded Deep came out. If you're not a PlayStation player, you can get, if you are, you can get PS Plus, which is $9.99 a month. And not only do you play multiplayer or online with other people with that, but it also entitles you to two free game downloads a month. And so each month at the beginning of the month, they release that month's games. Sometimes they're dumb and I don't do them. Sometimes I'm not sure, so I download it. It's free. Sometimes they turn out good, sometimes I delete it right away. Stranded Deep was one of those games that I got on my PS Plus subscription. I think otherwise it might be like $20, something like that. Again, I can't be totally sure, but I don't think it's a big expensive investment for you. But overall, it's kind of fits into my preferred genre of video games. I tend to like single player games or just a co-player game. I tend to not really enjoy the big multiplayer what's it called? Massive multiplayer games. And Stranded Deep was perfect because there's no one else around. There's no one attacking you. You could spend hours just messing around in the game, and have little to show for it. But after you get the hang of it, and you start, figuring out how to keep yourself alive and all that other stuff starts to get more fun. So the big view of this game is you are in a plane crash, you are the survivor, and you land out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean somewhere, and you have yourself a survival raft that you find, And then you pick one of a large number of different little Pacific islands, and you've got to survive. And that is the most basic description I can give. It's a lot of building. So you learn how to build rafts, you learn how to build yourself shelters. You learn, you've got to craft these different items, craft a knife, craft an axe, craft a hammer, etc. And you kind of level up there as you start making yourself different spears and ways to collect water and things like that. So it's just like, you just learn to survive. You can die. And when I started, I just died over and over again from starvation because I couldn't figure out how to feed myself, dehydration, shark bites, poisoning from snake bites, all kinds of stuff. I died repeatedly, but you can choose to start a brand new game if you feel like you want to start over. Or you can continue and start back up where you left off. It's just fun to that strange little feeling of accomplishment of like, yes, I figured out how to collect water. I mean, is it real life? No, obviously, but there's a little bit of a feeling of accomplishment that comes along with it. You can swim in the ocean. You can explore shipwrecks. You can find little interesting things along the way as you're exploring. You can also swim into the ocean and battle sharks, go fishing. You could use a fishing pole or a spear and swim around and catch fish, cook them. You need to eventually, you could stay on an island and just mess around and build your little house and all that stuff for a long time, but eventually you'll run out of resources. There's a lot of things that don't regenerate, like a tree, for example. Once you chop it down and use it, there's not another one. So you need to travel off the island. So you need to either swim and risk getting bit by a shark, or you can construct lots of different types of rafts to go explore the other islands, which have similar things on them, but slowly you start to like build bigger rafts, build bigger shelters, get better weapons, stuff like that. And there are bosses in the game, I guess you could call them bosses, but what are there? There are three of them. One's a megalodon, a giant shark, then there's a giant squid and a giant eel. And you can get trophies or whatever for killing them, more challenging maybe than a shark or something like that. And then eventually you have to kind of gather these certain set of resources. There's a big abandoned ship somewhere and it has a plane on it. And you can fix that plane and eventually leave. I don't know that that's really spoiling it because that's the general path of the game is you've got to survive until you can build up these resources and save yourself. That's not a plot spoiler at all. But I would recommend this for anyone that likes those building games, those single player games where you kind of level yourself up. It's a relaxed game for most of the time, unless of course you're like it's got these little adrenaline jumps when you're trying to save yourself or you're battling a shark or something like that. But you can make it as relaxing and easy as you want. You can just walk around and build up your own island and make it look how you want. You can customize the world, customize the setting that you're in, build it, knock it down, start over, build a huge tower, whatever you want, stockpile a bunch of shark meat. However you want to go, you could take the story. It's kind of just the big open world explorer that can take away just hours of just sort of mindless entertainment, which was awesome for me. So we did it. We recorded an episode. Woohoo! Good job, team. We talked about watching Yojimbo, the samurai movie, and then Fistful of Dollars, which was the Western movie that's basically a direct copy of it with Clint Eastwood. Highly recommend watching both of those together if possible. Then we talked about a great new book called Mexican Gothic, and then a fantastic video game called Stranded Deep. I play it on my PS4, but looks like it's available on the Xbox and PC as well. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll see if I can wrangle my co-host Nikki to get in here next time. So you don't have to listen to me the whole time. Lucky you. Alrighty. Have a great summer still. I'm not sure when I might be able to check in again, but just make sure you're subscribed and you'll get notified whenever I jump back on the microphone. Have an amazing day.